Good morning. Our reading today comes from the book of Revelation, which can be found on page 1250, from chapter 1 to chapter 30, from verse 1 to 20. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and these servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. There will not need light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. The angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God who inspires the prophets, sent his angels to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Look, I'm coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy written in his scroll. I, John, I am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, 'Don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you and with your fellow prophets and with all who keep the words of this scroll. Worship God.' Then he told him, 'Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this scroll, because the time is near. Let the one who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let the vile person continue to be vile. Let the one who does right continue to do right. And let the holy person continue to be holy. Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let the one who hears say, 'Come.' Let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the word of the prophecy of this scroll. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in this scroll. And if anyone takes word away from this scroll of prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this scroll. He who testifies to these things, 'Yes, I am coming soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. That's the word of the Lord. Glory be to God.
Rose, thank you very much. Do get your pew Bibles open on page 1250. It seems the projector's got stage fright, so they're going to want your pew Bibles. So I'm not sure it's going to behave behind me. So let's keep our eyes on God's word. Page 1250, Revelation 22. Let's pray for his help as we do that together. Loving Father, we thank and praise you that we can be here this morning. Thank you already that you've reminded us from truth sung that the Lord Jesus is coming back again. And we pray now for the next few moments you would speak to us by your Spirit through your word to build our eager anticipation of his return. And we pray in his name and for his glory. Amen. Well, last summer was a strange one, wasn't it, for many of us with our holiday plans changing. One of the treats we did manage and enjoy as a family was we took the children to Chessington World of Adventures, which, if you're old enough to remember, Chessington used to be simply a zoo. Now it is a wonderful theme park with just wonderful fun fairs and fun rides and all these things. But it was the school holidays, as I say, that we went. And boy, oh boy, do you have to wait if you want to go on a ride. I'd only been before by inset days and taking the children, so you get this luxury of not waiting for anything. In the summer holidays, you want to go on a big ride like the Vampire, you'll stand there queuing for 2 hours. And we called it bonding time. We had a lovely time with the children, chatting as we went and sort of saying how wonderful the ride will be at the end. And the waits would be worthwhile. And those 3 minutes of screaming joy generally were. But let me tell you, if you are to go, their newest ride, Croc Drop, is rubbish. 90 minutes we queued and waited. It was a long, boring queue for a very short, even more boring ride. Let me say it, I don't mind, I'm on YouTube even saying it, live streamed. It wasn't very good. I don't know how much they spent on it. The wait wasn't worthwhile. Why am I saying this? Because more importantly, as we've heard already this morning, Christians are people who wait. We are waiters. We live between Christ's first coming and his second coming, just like the people who first received these visions in the book of Revelation from the disciple John. And the Lord Jesus knows that waiting for him, for people like us, will feel hard, harder than 90 minutes for Croc Drop. And so he assures us, unlike Croc Drop, it will be worth it. He longs for us to keep going, to keep waiting. And so he writes these words, gives us these words, gets them written down for them then, for us now, to keep waiting and to wait well, because he's really worth it. As I say, these words were first written to Christians, also waiting. They were at the same stage as us, this side of the cross and resurrection. And they were Christians living within the Roman Empire at that time who will have found it extremely hard to be a believer. We prayed this morning for people in Myanmar and the persecution they faced. It was a time where they'll have been sorely tempted to have given up waiting for Jesus. If nothing else, just to simply compromise in their wait and say, well, he's coming soon at some point, but for now, the trappings and teachings and temptations of Rome are actually quite appealing, so I'll enjoy some of those. And so they needed reminding that they had a better home to wait for, a better culture to live by, a better worldview to live by, one where Jesus was king and that Jesus was coming back. And don't we all need that assurance, that great comfort in the wait? And the first thing we get is this glimpse of the glory of the better home to come. And we're told it is perfect and permanent and in God's presence. That's the first five verses. It's perfect and permanent and in God's presence. There's words there, I'm not sure if you saw and recognized some echoes and symbols of other things that have appeared throughout the Bible. In fact, right at the beginning from creation, where we read about in Genesis. And you can trace so many of these things through these promises and these prophecies. And wonderfully, we're told they will be fully and finally fulfilled when Jesus returns, when the new creation comes. And so look with me, verse 1, we're told the angel showed me, that was John the disciple, the river of the water of life. And we're told that its source isn't some just beautiful mountain vista, but the source is God and the Lamb. That's the imagery, the Lamb, Jesus. Life, we're told, comes from them and them alone. And that's why we hear again of the tree of life. Remember that in Genesis? And we're told it yields fruit every month, not as Quentin said, after autumn and then ready for spring. It yields fruit monthly. Why, again, picturing continual provision. You don't wait for the annual harvest. Continually provides. And it's not just its fruit, but we're told here of these leaves of healing. And that speaks of an absence of all physical and all spiritual wants. No physical harm, no spiritual holes in our heart, everything fulfilled. Can you imagine? We're told, verse 3, no longer will there be any curse. Again, our minds cast back, speaking of God's curse from the fall. And yet here, finally finished. And it also speaks of there being nothing accursed. Nothing bad, nothing evil will have any place or presence because God is perfectly present. He's central, isn't he, there on this throne in this city. And what is so comforting, particularly for us now, is that he is not socially distanced. We're told we'll serve him. It'll be face to face. Not even Moses knew what that was like. Believers, verse 4, will even bear his name. Again, it's symbolic, picturing this permanent belonging into the family in a city that is perpetually light. You don't even need the sun or lamp because God is there. Now, again, it's not a detailed description. It's a symbolic summary. Remember when we looked at the first three chapters, we said it was a vision, not video. But it is wanting us to try and grasp how much better our heavenly home will be. No sin, no suffering, no struggle, no death. It will not win. But God will. And he'll be there. And we'll be with him. It reminded me a little bit of how C.S. Lewis puts it in Narnia. If you know those Narnia books, Chronicles of Narnia, in one of the prophecies awaiting the return of Aslan, it says these words, "Wrong will be right when Aslan comes in sight. At the sound of his roar, sorrows will be no more. When he bares his teeth, winter meets its death. And when he shakes his mane, there will be spring again." It's a lovely little C.S. Lewis poem picturing all that we know to be true in the real Aslan, the Lord Jesus. Friends, waiting for that Lord is hard. And Jesus knows it, this side of his return. And so he gives us these assurances of what is to come. Perhaps your faith this morning is feeling feeble. Or perhaps it is feeling under fire. Perhaps not like those in Myanmar, as Richard prayed, but indeed, day by day, you are feeling at school or in the realms of the HR department at work or wherever you'll be this time tomorrow on a Monday, you're just feeling very much the minority. And where before you felt it was okay in a safe minority, now you are a bigoted minority. And you're feeling you daren't speak of where you were today. And perhaps you feel like giving up. Or perhaps you feel like, you know, actually just making home here is rather appealing. The wait is hard, and so you slowly but surely just try and absorb a few more of the creature comforts of what living here now offers. Perhaps an insurance policy in case Jesus doesn't come, in case it's not this good. Jesus says he's coming. It will be this good. And we must keep this glimpse of glory front and center, that we'd wait well. He wants us very clear that we'd live eagerly now, anticipating perfectly, permanently, and in his presence what that glory will be. Second, we wait as we worship by keeping his word. So the waiting now, I've got there, we worship as we wait by keeping his words. We're assured, aren't we, promised in verse 6, that what's spoken by this angel, this messenger to John the disciple, is indeed trustworthy and true. These are the same words from the same God, we're told, who inspires the prophets. And God always delivers on his word. And then it's as if Jesus interjects, doesn't he? Verse 7, look, I am coming soon, he says. And that word soon there means imminently, if not immediately, by our timings. We don't get the calendar out, but we do wait eagerly. It's imminent. It's next on his schedule. And so he says, therefore, blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy written in this scroll. That's how we wait. Keep his word. That word keeps there is actually the same word that is used in John chapter 14 when Jesus says, anyone who loves me will obey, will keep my teaching. To love Jesus now is to wait by keeping his words now. And there's all sorts of things that we could think of within his word. It's a long book, isn't it? We think of the ways we can obey him day by day. But particularly here, with John not knowing what to do, and he falls to his knees, and he's told, get up, don't worship me, worship God. It seems that this waiting, this keeping of the word here is linked to this command, worship God. And so it works backwards. We worship God by keeping his word while we wait. That is what it means to worship. And that's why, also linked, he's told, verse 10, and don't seal up the words of the prophecy of this scroll, because the time is near. If we know our Old Testaments, our minds will cast back. We think we've heard similar words. Someone like the prophet Daniel, he got visions. He knew what the future was coming and how it would be fulfilled. But he was told, seal up these words, because it was so far off being fulfilled. Here, the sense is of urgency, of imminence. Christ's return is coming. Don't seal this up. Don't close these words. Seems that not everybody will be waiting well, and they need to know now. That's the tone and meaning there of verse 11. Did you wonder what was meant as Rose read? Let the one who does wrong continue to do wrong. The vile person continue to be vile. Let the one who does right continue to do right. The holy person continue to be holy. The point is, it's saying when Jesus returns imminently, he will find people as he finds them. Wrongdoers or rightdoers, vile or holy, that'll be what they are. They'll have repented or they won't. And the sense is there won't be a lastminute.com repentance. It won't be that people suddenly see him in his glorious return and say, oh, crumbs, I backed the wrong horse. Now, quick. No. He says, we wait in worship now by keeping and therefore sharing his word now. We don't seal this up. We speak of him. You might have heard of the name Ben Quashy. I've mentioned him before. He's the Archbishop of Nigeria. I think there might be a picture of him and his wife. Look at that. Great, great smiles. It's astonishing to think they smile so broadly. I heard him, the privilege of hearing him speak at a conference a few years ago when he was here. And several times he and his wife have survived brutal attacks, terrorist attacks from Boko Haram. And they've failed each time to take their life. And if you read his books, you'll know that's miraculously. And they failed, therefore, to crush their faith or dampen their joy. Look at the grins. I'm sure it's not just because the photographer said, say cheese. In fact, Benjamin Quashy says these words, if God spares my life, no matter how short or long that is, I have something worth living and dying for. That kind of faith is what I'm passing on to coming generations. This world is not our home. We're strangers here. We've business to do. So we get on and do it. Astonishing. His worship of God now is how he waits now, by keeping and sharing God's word now. Friends, do you want to wait for God well? Do you want to wait well as the Lord returns? Do you want to worship God well? It has actually nothing to do with whether you manage the alto or the soprano line in the carol, as wonderful as we all may have sounded. No, to worship well is to just keep his word day by day. That's how we wait. It's to do that when, as I say, classmates or colleagues challenge you, or indeed tempt you to alleviate the boredom or uncertainty of the wait because it seems the world offers something better. Jesus says, no, will you wait by worshiping me? I am trustworthy and true. So friends, when the wait feels futile, or indeed when, you know, disobeying looks preferable, these Christians in the Roman Empire would have thought, do you know what? Rome looks fun. Jesus says, remember, this isn't home, but I am coming soon. Worship God by keeping and sharing my word. Finally, thirdly, we're told to get washed and get ready for Jesus' return. Get washed, get ready. There in verse 12, Jesus repeats, doesn't he? Look, I am coming soon. And we're told that when he does, he continues, my reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. And we sit there thinking, hang on a minute. I thought to be saved by grace through faith simply meant it's to trust in all that Jesus has done. And it is. Because it seems here that the qualification, as Jesus knows, is the only thing we are simply to have done to receive his blessing. Verse 14 is to have washed their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life and go through the gates into the city. It's back in chapter 7 of Revelation that this washing language was first used. It's described there as being cleaned from our sin through the blood of the Lamb. Strange picture, but we're cleaned through his blood, spiritually, our souls, our hearts. Jesus' blood shed on the cross, his blood, he is the one who washes us fit for heaven. And that word there, to get washed, speaks of being washed fully and finally when we first trust in his cross. But also it does speak of an ongoing washing, the way that the Greek grammar works. A washing of repeatedly returning to Christ in humble repentance. It's because Jesus says do that because he knows we'll keep getting dirty. He knows that sin and compromise will stain us day by day. And the assurance, however, is that he welcomes us back over and over to keep being cleaned, to be washed, to be ready. Of course, that is the great assurance. That's the great invitation, isn't it? It's to come inside through the gates. But of course, there's warning, isn't there? This picture here of those, verse 15, who remain outside. It seems to be it's those who choose not to be washed by Jesus, not to trust his word of his cross. Pictured here to be like the wild dogs that would have lived outside the city gates, scavenging. Don't think Crufts and the pooches that we bought during lockdown are here. There's a picture here of those who had no place in the city. They chose not to be washed. Those who prefer sin, prefer falsehood, rather than being saved and forgiven. Jesus says, so they will remain outside. Jesus says, come, get washed, get ready. In our house, Kate, my wife, kindly does the laundry. That is one of her mum jobs. We all play our part, it's fair to say. We just fill the laundry bin. That's our contribution, and we keep it up very well. That does mean the laundry bin, which sits at the top of the stairs outside the family bathroom, it means every now and again, not every now and again, I'm mindful she'll be on the live stream, a few times a week, we will hear a cry that goes along something like the lines of, how can this possibly be full again? I've emptied it twice today already. my children will know it's true. Of course, the point is our once clean clothes, which have been beautifully cleaned and dried and put away for us, have very quickly been made dirty again, often before breakfast is finished. And once again, at the end of the day, if not beforehand, they go straight into the laundry bin so that we are able to be ready, washed for school or for sport or for socialising, whatever it might be. See, Jesus promises, I'm coming soon. Be ready by getting washed, trusting in his blood to make us clean. Friends, are you sat here today looking forward to Christmas as we celebrate Christ's first coming, but as those washed and ready for his second coming? Perhaps you know you have come to him, you do trust, you've heard his invitation, but do you need to get back in the habit of coming back? Is the laundry pile building up because of sin, because of compromise? Perhaps there are those who you know who are not yet ready to meet him when he returns, and they are warned they will remain outside. Are you praying for them? Are you inviting them to come at Christmas, the easiest invite in the world? Come and hear of the first coming, that they'll be ready for his second coming. Perhaps you're someone here this morning who thinks, you know, I'm not sure I've ever come to Jesus. And if that's you, it's terrific to have you here. You are extremely welcome. And perhaps Jesus is helping you see this morning through his trustworthy truth that you might need to come to Jesus, or you really do need to come to Jesus. Did you hear in verse 17, as Rose read, these words are for you. Come, come, come. Three times is the invitation from the Spirit and the bride, this picture here of the church. Come if you're thirsty. Meaning not fully satisfied. There is an ache in your heart that you know you can't fill even though you've tried. Come if you long to receive the gift of life that he freely gives. Come and get washed and ready for Jesus. He says, come. Don't leave it too late. Don't be found outside the city. If that's you, if you'd like to know how to come to Jesus, then speak to me afterwards over coffee. Just love to talk simply about that and how we might help. But friends, as we close, as I say, as is obvious from the beautifully decorated tree, thank you to all those who did that whilst I was away, we'll soon start celebrating that first coming of Christmas. And that is joyful. But wonderfully, whilst we wait, he promises us he is coming again and soon. It is imminent, if not immediate. And so will we live now, anticipating the perfection and presence of life with him? Will we worship now by keeping and sharing his word day by day? And will we get washed and be ready now? That when he says, I am coming soon, we might joyfully pray, Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Loving Father, we do thank and praise you for the Lord Jesus Christ coming that first Christmas to seek and to save the lost. We thank you that first Easter, his death and resurrection, brings us into life with him through your grace and mercy of forgiveness of our sins. And we thank you that you know that we will wait impatiently and imperfectly, and you long to give us the assurance of your trustworthy true word that he is coming soon and it will be glorious. And so we pray you to strengthen our faith day by day to make what will feel like bold and hard choices, choices that will have us stand out at school, stand out at work, increasingly under pressure. But would we be those who wait in worship by keeping your word as those washed and ready for Jesus? And we pray that, Amen, Lord Jesus, you would come. And we pray in your name. Amen.